Blog Talk Radio.
Happy day, everybody. Hi, Johnny Boy. How are you?
Hey, Joanne. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. We have a great guest tonight. He's a repeat offender, actually. We love Richard so much, we had to have him come back, and we're going to discuss his... He just celebrated a big anniversary of when he uprooted from his little town in the Midwest and came to this big city to make a life for himself, and he sure did. So before we start, let's say thank you to our sponsors so we can move on. And the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Teas for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey, and Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's sake, and Joey Max Hot Dog Truck Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. Love those guys. Love them, love them, love them. Anyway, welcome to the show tonight, folks. We have Mr. Richard Skipper, and Richard is just like the kindest guy you could ever meet, the sweetest guy you could ever meet, and one of the most talented guys you could ever meet. And Richard's going to tell you his story. He recently celebrated his anniversary on August 5th of when he uprooted, like I said, and just moved his life to New York City and made life happen. And it is possible. So when you listen to Richard's story, you'll know what we're talking about. And also, he does Richard Skipper Celebrates, which is fabulous, and we're going to talk about that, too. Richard Skipper, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Joanne. All of that was true except for one thing.
Which one?
I uprooted from the South. I'm a Southern boy from Conway, South Carolina.
Yeah. I was going based on our original conversation when we first met. You know, honey?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No,
so
it's all right. No, I'm a Southern boy. Born in Conway, South Carolina.
That's
As a matter of fact, my show was originally called From Conway to Broadway.
Yeah, nice name. I love that. I love that. So now, August 5th was how many years since you departed?
41 years ago this
week,
I arrived in New York City. I was 18 years old. Everyone can do the math. I will be 60 in February. That came with a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. And I came to New York on August 5th, 1979, which was a Sunday. The day plays in my head like a movie.
Right.
I arrived here with $500 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Bible because I was a good Southern Methodist boy from South Carolina. I had a portfolio of photographs from shows that I had done in South Carolina. And a briefcase, don't ask me why. But I had never flown before. I had never been outside the borders of North and South Carolina. I had never really been out in the world beyond my own backyard, so to speak.
Right. And what were you, 16, you said, or 18?
I was 18 years old.
Pardon me. Wow.
But
growing up
in South Carolina, I have to be very honest with you, I may as well have been 16 because I didn't have world sense. I had never been on my own before. I didn't know anyone when I arrived here with a few exceptions, which I'll tell you about as we get to the story. But I really, I was reading a book called The Magic of Believing by Claude M. Bristol. It's still available. And I was reading this book when I was 13 years old, which tells you the kind of kid that I was. And I was reading the book, and in the book, Claude Bristol said, set your mind on a goal like a homing pigeon and go after it with dogged determination. And I was reading that book on August 5th, 1974. I closed the book. I went in and I said to my mom and dad, 5 years from today, I'm going to New York. And of course, my parents looked at me as if I was speaking a foreign language or speaking a term, tongues, you know. It was just foreign to them. And
well, did you ever show them like that you had any interest to go to New York, or is it just from the book alone that inspired you to do it?
It was, well, I'm a child of 1960s and 70s television, as I think you are too, based on some of the guests that you've had on your show. But I grew up in the world of the variety show. Mitzi Gaynor and Anne Margaret, Liza Minnelli, Barbara Streisand, Judy Garland. Notice they're all women. But I grew up as this kid wanting to be in that world. Everyone seemed to be happy. Everybody seemed upbeat. People were singing and telling jokes and everything. And that was the show business that I wanted to be a part of.
Nice.
And of course, as I'm sure you know, that show business never truly existed. I mean, those shows were on television and everything, but by the time 1979 rolled around, that was a long ago world.
Right.
And think about this for just a moment, Joanne. You and I don't know how old you are, and I'm not asking as far as I'm concerned your age.
I'm not ashamed. 55. Not ashamed.
Okay, well, I'm going to be 60.
Not a shame.
And when you think about these variety shows that we watched in the 60s, and
they were great.
They were great, but it was really an offshoot of vaudeville.
Right, right.
All those performers came out of the vaudeville tradition.
Right.
And their goal was to entertain. And that was what I wanted to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So I started acting in my local theater company when I was 13 years old with the Theater of the Republic. And, you know, in my show, I tell the whole story about my first audition, which was a disaster. But I ended up getting in the show anyway. And I continued over the next 5 years to do shows when there was a part for me. And I always had that dream of New York being in the back of my mind.
Right.
So every year on August 5th, I would say to my parents, 4 years from today, I'm going to New York, 3 years from today, and so on.
Right.
And when, you know, my parents continued to think it was a big joke. And when the day arrived, I don't think that my parents actually got it.
Right.
Until maybe a week before I was scheduled to leave. And I don't think they really got it.
Right. They probably didn't think you were serious. That's why, you know.
No.
Yeah.
My dad gave me 3 weeks. He said I would be home within 3 weeks.
Right.
And my mom, for 10 years after I arrived in New York, there would never be a phone call without her ending by saying, so when are you coming home? They just didn't. It was outside the realm of possibility with either one of my parents.
Right.
I grew up on a farm. My father was one of 10 children, and my mom, I hope you're sitting down, was the oldest of 16.
Wow. I hope you're sitting down, Mom. That's
so
amazing, too. Wow.
So this idea of...
Well, wait a minute. Richard, last time we spoke on the show, we didn't touch on this. Now, do any of the other kids out of all these siblings, the 16, the 10, was anybody ever into show business like you as well? Or no, you were like a standout alone in the family, right?
No, I was stand alone, not only with my family, but in school, in church, in everything. It's very interesting. I went back to my hometown to do a show. I think about 20 years ago, and they interviewed some people that I went to school with,
Right.
And one dear friend, may she rest in peace, she said, in our school, we have the rich kids, we have the poor kids, we have the farm kids, we have the kids that worked at the amusement park, we had the bookworms, we had the kids that never opened a book, there were the bullies, there were the kids that were bullied, and then there was Ricky. I ran to my own drumbeat.
There you were. Yep. Oh, well, you must have stuck out like a sore thumb, that's for sure.
I did then, and I do now.
Oh, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, different
no,
is good.
I've embraced
and,
it. No, I
you know,
have embraced it.
Me too. Hey, that's what makes us, you know, that your personality makes you you, and that's what makes people. So, like you said, embrace it. Enjoy it.
Well, I'll
roll
tell you something, Joanne. And thank God this happened before this world turned upside down. But in October, I went home for my 40th class reunion. And it was the first time that I had been home since coming to New York. And there were a lot of reasons why I put off going year after year after year. And then this year, I decided I really want to be there.
Right.
And there was not a person that was at our class reunion, and I don't say this to pat myself on the back or not, who did not know who I was when I was in school. I mean, usually there are people that come along and people will say, oh, I don't remember them, or I don't.
Right.
Every single person remembered me from high school.
Right, but at the time when you were in school, did you feel like nobody knew who you were?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. As a matter of fact, I used to do concerts on the front steps of our high school.
Oh, wow. So, no. Of course they remember you at the reunion.
I'm sorry?
Of course they would remember you at the reunion then.
Yes, I did everything to keep my name at the forefront. I still do.
Do you want to talk about Richard? Well, you know what I didn't mention, what I introduced you, was that Richard, I don't want to say, he's not an impersonator. He just took his love for Carol Channing and just, again, embraced it. I hate to use the word again, but and shared it with people who couldn't see the actual Carol Channing, but when they watched Richard, they were watching the actual Carol Channing. So,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And how that came, tell everybody how that came together and how, I mean, and the funny thing is, like you said, you're a product of the 60s, 70s TV era like me, and you're meeting and have actually met these people and spent time with them and are out friends with them. That's what an amazing feeling that is, isn't it?
That is probably one of the most, and I still pinch myself. I don't take any of this for granted.
Right.
The fact that so many people that I grew up, Anita Gillette is a good friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine. Michelle Lee, so many people that I grew up watching.
Me too.
On these variety shows. Mitzi Gaynor. And Carol Channing became a very dear friend of mine. But what happened was that when I was doing the concerts that I used to do on the front steps of my high school, I would mimic everything that I saw on television the night before. And Carol Channing was one of those voices that I used to mimic.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came to New York, and I was in New York, I would say probably about a year at this point, and I discovered a place that I used to go to every Thursday night. It was called the Piano Bar. It was at 67th and Broadway. It was part of a Beefsteak Charlie's.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a free buffet if you were performing.
Nice.
And when you were a starving actor in New York, you learned to find these places. So I would go, and I'd get up, and I'd perform a song or two. And then one night I went in, I got up, and I sang, and I got a great response. And Houston Allred, who was the piano player there, said, Richard, why don't you do something else for us? And I said, well, I really don't have anything prepared. And one of my friends that was in the audience jumped up and said, do Carol Channing.
Mm.
And, of course, Houston said, you do Carol Channing. And I said, no, I don't do Carol Channing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, your friends say you do, so why don't you come up and, you know, come on and do this number for us. And he said, do you know Hello, Dolly? I said, of course I know Hello, Dolly.
Nice.
He said,
nice.
Do you know all the verses? I said, of course I know all the verses.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets up. And he grabs these different people out of the room to be the waiters at the Harmonia Gardens. And we staged the whole Dolly number.
Wow.
And we did this, and after I finished, this woman came running over to me. Her name was Leola Harlow. And Leola Harlow was a former Ziegfeld girl and a showgirl. She had worked in burlesque, and she was now a costumer. She came over to me, and she said, "What's your drag name?" And I said, "My what?" She said, "Your drag name." I didn't even know what that meant. She said, "Well, obviously you do this for a living." And I said, "Do what for a living?" She said, "Perform as Carol Channing." I said, "No." She said, "Well, if you ever change your mind, I want to dress you." And I said, "Well, that's not going to happen." But what ended up happening was that every week when I would come to the piano bar, and I would come every other Thursday, they would get me up to end the evening with a Carol Channing number.
Right.
And this went on for several weeks. And then I went to audition for a show called All American Boy. I walked into the audition, and as soon as I walked in, they said, "You're Carol Channing." And my heart stopped. I thought, well, that's the end of my career. And they said, "No, there's a scene in the show where the lead characters go into a nightclub, and they this performer comes out and performs the title song. What if they go into an impersonation club, and Carol Channing comes out and sings the title song?" So I went off with the musical director. I learned the song. I came back in. I performed it for everyone, and they cast me on the spot. And they said, "Obviously, we're assuming you've got your own costumes and everything." And I said, "Oh, yes."
Yeah.
First rule in show business, when someone asks you a question, your answer should always be yes.
Exactly.
So I said, "Yes, I have my own costumes." I called Leola Harlow. She dressed me in the costume. She gave me it was a silver lamé gown with ostrich plumes and everything, very Carol Channing-ish. A friend of mine went shopping with me on 14th Street. We got a blonde page boy wig, and he did my makeup. I opened in the show. I came out. I stopped the show, got huge applause, and then at the end of the evening, I was canned from the show. And the reason I was canned from the show is because this was not a show about a Carol Channing impersonator. And if I was to be in the show doing this, that's what the show would have been about.
Right.
And that's
what people would have been coming to see. Right. Your role took away from what the show actually was, because people were more into seeing you than the actual show.
Exactly. So I was out of the show, but every year on Halloween, I had a costume. I would dress as Carol, and I would start. I don't know how well you know the piano bars in the city, but this is what I would do. I would start at the Monster. I would leave the Monster. I would go to Marie's Crisis. I would leave Marie's Crisis. I would go to the Duplex. I would leave the Duplex. I would go to the Five Oaks. I would leave the Five Oaks. I would go to 88. Then I would get in a cab or the subway, dressed as Carol Channing, go to Don't Tell Mama, do a number there, and then retrace my steps. And I did that on Halloween.
Every night or only Halloween?
No, every Halloween.
Oh, wow.
And then in 1989, John Glines, and I was just reading, John Glines was, there was a theater company called the Glines. And the Glines was a theater company that produced gay and lesbian theater. Because there was no outlet for it at that time.
Right.
So he wrote a show called Men of Manhattan. And he wrote a role in the show for me named Carol Channing. And I never dressed as Carol in the show, but I went in and out of the voice, the character. That was a very successful show for me. And then when the show closed, I was looking for my next opportunity. And for the next few years, I would dress as Carol and go out and do things. And then in 1994, Carol Channing came back to Broadway in Hello, Dolly, the last revival that she did. And a friend of mine called me up and said, "If you don't do a show about Carol Channing, you're making the biggest mistake of your life." So I thought, well, what if people don't like me as Carol? He said, "You'll find out." So I started doing, I started putting the show together, and luck came my way, and I was able to crash a party that Carol was going to be at. I came in, I performed for her. she embraced what I did.
Right.
And shortly after that, I went to Atlantic City. I went to Las Vegas. I've done
I performed
on the Windstar cruise ship.
You would go there to perform after
No,
that.
I performed in all these places.
Wow. Wow.
I performed for 20 years as Carol Channing.
Wow. You think you'll ever reprise the role or
no? No. That ship has sailed. When the show ended, when Harry, who was Carol's last husband, died, a huge spark went out for me. And especially now that since Carol is gone, that was a special time in my life. I performed as Carol when she was still there. We shared the stage a few times. She came to see me perform. She was a huge supporter of mine. I was incredibly fortunate and lucky to have her as a friend. And that that was the greatest gift that came out of that portion of my life and career.
Right. I mean, honestly, Richard, people are needing some Carol maybe, and you might want to, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a guy out there, if he's listening, Nikki Campiabelli, he is a great Carol Channing impersonator. I passed the torch to him.
Okay.
Let someone else do it. I did it. And now I want to focus on other areas of my life.
Yeah, tell everybody about Richard Skipper Celebrates. It's fabulous, guys. Especially if you're into Broadway or cabaret, Richard Celebrates everybody. But go ahead, Richard. Let everybody know what that is.
Well, I was writing a blog, and the blog was called Richard's Rants and Raves. And a friend of mine said, "You're always raving, but you're never ranting."
Mm.
And that's not me. I want to be the antidote to that. I believe that we live in a very – no, I'm going to rephrase that sentence. We live in a bullying culture.
Yes,
it's very – look at what Ellen DeGeneres is going through right now.
Right.
Now, neither you nor I know all the details of what goes on behind the scenes. But, it's, you know, people want to tear people down.
I know.
And we don't know all the details. And the same people who
are
loving her on –
Richard, are you talking about the people, her people are there's issues on the set? Is that what you mean, or is there something going on?
I'm talking about people who are fans, people who read articles in news magazines, and they form a judgment on somebody
based on
something they're reading.
Right. So what are they saying? Are they saying something bad about her right now? I posted a joke about her today. I didn't mean to insult her. Oh, my God. I didn't know.
No. Well, they're saying that the culture around Ellen is a bullying culture.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
And that the people that work for her, guest on the show, other people have been treated very, very badly. That may be true, and it may not be true. We don't know all the facts. But we live right now in a cancel culture where people want to tear things down quicker than they can. You build something up and then you want to tear it down. You know, I want to tell you, right now I am I am going through my own depression. I am going through my career completely stopped in March. I don't see any sign of it coming back anytime soon. What I've been doing is I've taken those blogs that I've done to the next level, and I do live interviews mostly on Mondays. But I posted yesterday that, you know, something, you know, that, you know, I'm dealing right now is that, as you and I talked about before the show started, of course, with this hurricane that just came through, this tropical storm, it knocked our electricity out.
The icing on the cake, you know?
Yes.
The storm. That was it. It's like, are you kidding me? Again? Something? You know?
No electricity from Tuesday. I am on my iPhone right now, but I have no phone service in my house. My landline is dead. I have no internet. I have no television. And I was feeling really down.
Yeah.
And I posted something about how I was feeling.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And somebody went, a lot of people are in worse shape than you are.
I saw you say I apologize for posting something, but I didn't see the post. What was the actual
post?
Well,
what I posted was goodbye, everybody. I'll see you on the other side.
What? What the hell did that mean?
Well, it meant that I was going to be seeing everybody after all the electricity and everything came back. That's what I thought I was posting.
But that's not what people are going to read, understand when you say you see you on the other side. No wonder.
Well, now I know, Joanne, because I came back on Facebook. People are calling me saying, are you okay? And I'm going,
yeah.
Yes, I'm okay.
Oh, my God. Look, I thought I was going to have to talk you off a ledge today. Now I know what's going on.
No. So then I wrote to everybody, I'm sorry, you know, and then somebody weighed in and said, you know, a lot of people are having it a lot worse than you are. And I know that.
Right.
I know that.
Right.
And I'm not negating what anybody is going through right now.
Yeah.
One friend of mine says we're all in this together, but we're not in the same boat.
That is true.
You know, and I am telling you, and this goes back to your question about Richard Skipper Celebrates.
Mm.
I want to celebrate people. I want to celebrate people's achievements.
Right.
I want to celebrate what people have accomplished.
Right.
Instead of tearing each other down. And I will tell you that right now, especially, my husband and I, Dan and I, have been, as you know, have been very, very careful. We don't socialize.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, a couple of friends over out on the back deck where they're sitting on one side of the deck and we're sitting on the other. We have not been to restaurants. We have not done all the things that a lot of people out there are doing.
Right.
And if people want to do it, God bless them. God bless the courage and the conviction that you have. I hope that you're being careful. But I am telling you, though, if I go on Facebook after 9 o'clock at night, it's like walking into a viper's nest.
I know.
Everybody, you post something. Somebody posted the other day, oh, my God, how sad is it that we may not have theater in New York until the middle of 2021?
Mm.
And then someone snapped at that person and said, but what about Black Lives Matter?
What the hell has that got
Both
to do
are,
with anything? You're not even talking about that.
One doesn't have
that.
Anything to do with the other.
Exactly. What the hell was that about?
And, you know, and if you're feeling something, I don't care what you're feeling. If you are feeling that this is the worst day of your life, and you post that you're feeling this is the worst day of your life, who are these people to sit and attack you for it?
Right, right.
Everybody who's listening to me right now, take a collective pause and stop it.
Absolutely.
Everybody is going through this the best way they can. And I will tell you something. Now we're going to get into a whole new realm if you want to go down this path.
Yeah.
But it really, I am not responsible for what a police officer does or does not do. I am not responsible for whether or not you decide to wear a mask. I am not responsible for how you desire to live your life. But what I am responsible for is how I respond to it.
So true.
And that's not to say that I don't care, because trust me, if I, you know, the problem with me is that I have too much empathy.
Right.
When I watch the news and I read about a 5-year-old kid that has died of COVID, I burst into tears.
Mm.
And I don't even know who this person is.
You've also lost a lot of friends.
I feel for everybody.
You've also lost a lot of friends to Corona,
I have lost a few friends, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And it's difficult. But my point is that I have empathy for so many people. And I end up taking on so much of what people are feeling or going through, and it adds to my own grief.
Stop being a sponge.
And right now,
Don't be a sponge. Don't absorb it, and just be yourself and be your happy Richard Skipper lovable self.
Well,
that's
I'm trying. And, you know, but normally...
Hey, Richard.
You know, things, yes?
Richard, I want to ask you, you mentioned before we went on the air, you just put in a pond with fish and everything. And I think that's one of the best remedies for this type of thing, because you could sit by the pond and you could watch the fish And it's just a very relaxing thing. And I think that's one of the best things you could have done.
Yeah.
I went and I sat by the pond. I was going to do the interview from there. But the water was, I thought it would be too loud. It's too much of a distraction. But no, I went to the pond today. There was a garter snake sunning on one of the rocks. And there's a gorgeous green. I'll send you a picture, Joanne. There's a picture of a frog. It looks like a Fabergé frog, all the colors and everything. And this has been a major outlet for me to go and just sit out there, at everything. I mean, I had to get away for a couple of days. I went and stayed in a hotel because it was too hot in my house with no air conditioning. And generators going on all around me. And all you hear all night long is this whir of generators. God bless everyone who needs. If you need it, use it. But if you don't need it.
Go ahead, honey. I'm sorry.
I said, if you don't need it, give your neighbors a break once in a while.
Yes, yes, yes. It can get on your nerves. When are they saying the power will be back up? Do you have any word on that?
Well, you know, this is the whole thing. Our electricity is on. What is off right now is the internet, the phone, and the TV.
You got the triple play.
One
thing's out, everything's out.
Everything is out.
Yeah.
And what really bothers me is, you know, I went on Facebook and I read there were 1,000 complaints. We realize, if anyone from Optimum happens to be listening right now, I realize that what happened was an act of God.
Right.
No one's disputing that. I understand that there are workers that are probably out there working to try to restore our service. The issue is that there is no customer service. There's no one to find out. You know, if I order a package through Amazon, and I'm constantly ordering things through Amazon, a tracer goes out. I know exactly when the package leaves their warehouse. I know when it's scheduled to arrive. And then when it does get dropped off in my front house, or if I send someone a gift, a picture is posted to show that it's been dropped off. Why can't we have the same thing with these workers saying, we're working in this area, we're doing this, we're doing that, we want...
They don't have something like that on their website? I think we do here.
No,
yeah, I think once you call and place the call, you can track in Jersey on PSE&G. I believe you can.
You can't do that. I'm going to mention the company. You can't do it with Optimum.
It's a great idea. But due to the fact, like you said, an act of God, they're working everywhere possible at this time. And God knows where they are right now, and they're trying to get to
But in this area, all of our neighbors, everybody's out, you know, where no phones, no internet. I have not been able – this is the first thing that I have done. And thank you for this opportunity, but I have not my electricity went off at 2 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon.
Wow.
I was scheduled – to do a master class for theater camp on Wednesday afternoon. They don't even know that they'll be able to reschedule that because of their scheduling for the summer. Wednesday night was the anniversary of my coming to New York. I had a virtual presentation that I was going to do online. That, of course, went out. A class that I was supposed to take to people that I'm working with, I was supposed to do Zoom meetings with them. Everything is on hold right now.
I know.
And it's the not knowing that isn't that where we are this year?
Yeah.
Everything is about not knowing.
Not knowing, exactly. Well, you pulled me out of my slump over a week ago, and if there's anything I could ever do, you know where to reach me, Richard.
Well, you
Come
just
on.
Did it. Thank you for having me here.
Well, I wanted to make you laugh more, but come here, let me tickle you. Tickle, tickle, tickle.
No, I'll take it. From a distance, of course.
But Richard, I think you learned a lesson in this with this
Surely.
Act of God here, because living out here in rural Pennsylvania where I am, we went through that the first year or two that we lived here, and we decided we're going to have a regular landline, we're going to get dish cable TV, and we're going to have a separate internet. So usually one or two go out, but we always have the telephone, the landline, for some reason. It always stays on. So I would question, maybe change that service instead of getting the triple play, just get one and switch it to other accounts. So at least you'll have something. At least you'll have TV. If you have electricity, you have dish TV.
I'm making the call.
Cool.
As soon as I'm up and running again, that's the first thing I'm going to do. Absolutely.
All right.
Yes, that's the best thing.
Lights are on, TV's on, everything. Where's Richard Skipper? What are we doing there once everything goes back into normal at your house?
No, it's been crazy. And I realize that people are in worse shape than I am. I mean, thank God I don't have any medical issues that I'm dealing with.
Right.
So it could be a lot worse, and I really respect that, and I know that.
Well, you're allowed to tell your feelings and blow up once in a while. Everybody has that, and you know when you do that, it makes you feel better. So
yeah.
Let it.
Well, I hope
let
so.
It but you might not want to say what you said. I would have went about it in a totally different way instead of saying "see you on the other side." I mean, what do you take that as, John?
I take it that you're going to commit suicide, and I better get the hell over
please.
There.
Please, no.
If I posted hi, all, take care. See you on the other side. I mean,
and
I
if anyone out there is contemplating that or anything, please call me because I mean, please, that's a last result. No,
yes,
no,
Richard,
no, no.
Richard has many years to go, and he is not ready to give up anything.
No,
he's just
no,
no. With many things.
No, I'm looking
he's
forward to the next 41
started.
Years in New York.
Yeah, you're just getting started. Well, that's what I was saying. Okay, your lights are back on. Where's Richard? What are we going to be doing? What are you working on? What are we going to get your show back on?
I've got several interviews lined up, and I am in the process right now. I have an incredible guy who's working with me, and we're putting together. We were in the process of doing this when everything stopped, but I'm doing a sizzle reel with all the interviews that I've done over the years. I've done over 1,000 interviews over the years with a lot of celebrities, always celebrating them. And we're starting to put a little reel together to hopefully take me to a whole new realm with
nice.
The interview work that I do.
Nice. Yeah, John's actually in the process. We just had our one-year anniversary in July, and we totally missed a boat. But John's working on putting together you're going to see pictures of all our guests that have come up, and they're going to say happy birthday and whatever, So it's going to be cool. We're looking forward to that, too. So working hard on that, right, John?
Yes, we are, as we speak.
This is the whole thing, and I have to be honest with you. I mean, doing these interviews every week, I do them on Mondays, and it gives me something to look forward to.
Right.
And I'm not making any money at this right now. I'm just getting by. But having these little goals that I work towards each week gives me a focus and a purpose. And what's happened this week is that all of that just ended. And because of where we are in the world right now, it's not like I can say, well, I'm going to go away for a week. Where do you go?
Right.
Where are the places that you can go? I mean, I am not ready to get on a plane because when I do go out, I wear a mask. But the idea of wearing a mask for 8 hours or 6 hours just makes my mind spin.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for that move yet. There are not a lot of options that we have right now beyond our own backyards, at least not for me. And again, I applaud those that feel comfortable enough to do it.
Mm-hmm. Have they thought about doing any Broadway in the park or anything that you know of, Richard, or any cabaret in the park? It's wide open, you know?
It's not a good idea right now because, unfortunately, and this is what I know, even if you are following all the guidelines and you are
right.
doing everything that you need to do to protect people, and this is what people are not getting. It takes one person.
Right.
It takes one irresponsible person to show up at one of these events and
right.
do God only knows what.
Firestorm.
That's all it takes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you've got all these people that are infected because,
right.
it's airborne and travels and everything. This is the message that I would love to get across to people. One of my favorite producers is Ken Davenport. And Ken Davenport has a wonderful blog called The Producer's Perspective. And one of the things that his hashtag is longer is stronger. And what that means is the longer that we wait to make sure that all the protocols are in place, the stronger we will be when it is
right.
time for us to come back.
Right.
And unfortunately, we live in, well, I'm experiencing it right now. We live, and this is part of the frustration that I'm experiencing. Now that I'm talking to you out loud, I'm going to listen to my own words.
Yes.
We live in an instant society where you don't have to wait for a movie. It's on demand. You can binge watch all the episodes of a season in one sitting if you so wish to do so.
Mm.
Any movie that you want, if you want anything online, and yes, Joanne, I mean anything online, you hit an app and it's delivered to your front door within
right.
the hour.
Right.
And because we have built a culture where people have to have instant gratification, no one's willing to wait.
Right.
I want to perform more so than, you know, a lot of my friends that are out there doing their porch concerts and doing, you know, the things that they're doing. It's not that I don't want to be doing those things. I do want to do those things. But wait. Let's get
right.
to the roof. You know, we all need to take a pause. And if
right.
we can all take a pause and get through August, perhaps we'll be a little bit better off in September.
Nice. Nice. I know. Well, let's see what happens. And, you know, who knows? I mean, don't know who to believe, don't know what to listen to, but I know what to do for me. So that's all.
Listen
you know,
to the
do
scientist.
What,
listen
well,
to
I
the
do.
Scientist.
I do. Trust me, I do. I cannot afford to get sick. I can't afford to bring it home. I can't, you know, just in life dollars, when I say afford, I mean, I just can't afford to lose everything I have because of being stupid because I didn't wear a mask and then spread it to my family. You know what I mean? So.
But let me tell you something, Joanne. Because of the stupidity of the, you know, these people who are doing the irrational things they're doing, you know, it's one thing if you want to go out, you want to go boating, and you want to, get together with all your friends. You know, I see people posting pictures of with their arms around each other, and then they will say underneath, "We were wearing our masks before the pictures were taken." It
right.
takes a second. It
right.
takes a second. So even
right.
though you were wearing those masks before the pictures were taken, you know, it's crazy that people
yeah.
have really stopped thinking about what they're doing.
Right.
And if you get sick, you know, have you thought about the, don't stop thinking about yourself getting sick. Thinking about what you're putting your family and friends through.
Right.
And there are certain people, we've lost some incredible people who were being careful, who were living their lives, there was a lot when this first started that we didn't know.
Right.
But there's a lot that we do know.
Right.
And if you take care of Joanne Barton and I take care of Richard Skipper and John takes care of John, we are on the path to getting this thing behind us.
Right. Right. We all just need to be on the same page, and we're not. So that's the thing.
That's and we're not on the same page. You know, look at the
one thing. The one thing I'm afraid of, guys, is that when will people believe it's safe to take their masks off? I was reading someplace where this could go on for like 5 to 10 years that we'll be wearing masks, and I don't know if that's something that I'd like to do. You know what I mean?
Well,
when does it end?
John, if I'm going to be around a lot of people, even when this is supposedly over, I'm still wearing a mask. I don't give a shit because you know what? you could catch anything, and it don't matter. I mean, forget about that it came from China, whatever. But the Asians have been wearing masks for my whole life that I can recall every time I saw a commercial or news footage.
That's because they're the polluted air. They can't breathe the air.
I mean, think about this.
For as long as I know. So I don't mind wearing a freaking mask.
But look at how we've polluted the air here.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be wearing a mask 5 days from today. But if I have to wear a mask 5 days from today, I'm going to wear a mask 5 days from today.
Right. It doesn't bother
me.
It doesn't bother me one bit.
I have, you know, I am truly working from home and doing everything from home. I am in a fortunate situation where I have a partner who can do the shopping,
right,
who goes out and does what needs to be done. And,
right,
you know, and he's very, very careful with the mask and the gloves when he goes out. That's one person that, you know, that's leaving the house. And I am here doing work in the house. There are things, you know, prior to this, we had a cleaning lady that came to our house every other Monday. I miss her tremendously.
Oh, send her over here, please.
Yeah, but she, you know, I'm nervous to have anyone come to my house right now.
Right.
And no one has been in my house except for the Optimum guy, and he may have to come in again. but that's it.
We have had company, but we've kept our masks on. And when we were together or like eating or anything, we did keep distance and nobody shared, like, you know, when you'd go to grab a chip out of a bowl or something, there was a bowl there for you to take your own. And you know what I mean? And we had a small gathering for my son for his graduation / birthday party. We were at the gate with a thermometer taking temperatures and putting the hand sanitizer in the kids' hands. And then we're checking throughout the day. I hate to say I was being obnoxious or a pain in the ass, but I didn't want to be responsible for these kids getting sick. And I didn't want to get sick. You know what I mean?
No.
So that was a month ago. So everybody's good.
A year ago today, I was getting ready to go to Canada. I left it for Canada on Monday. Tomorrow will be a year ago. Who would have thought a year later,
right,
that our lives would – this is why we need to take every moment and honor it,
yeah,
and realize that the things that we love, whether it be electricity or internet or anything, can be gone in an instant.
Well,
but
you
more
know
importantly,
what?
Our lives can be gone.
Right. Well, when your power comes back up, work on a new campaign. Do a wear a mask or social distance or like your stay home one. That was great.
And I know that there are people out there when I speak up about these things that they probably want me to shut up and go away. I'm not going to be the person who tells you should wear a mask, you should do this, you should do that. I am going to tell people that, you know, I'm talking about pointing fingers at individuals. Every single day I see these postings where someone's attacking someone in a supermarket or someone's attacking someone at the Walmart.
Yeah.
Cross to the other side of the room, folks. If someone that you don't even know is making the choice that they're making, don't get involved in their drama.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not like 20 years ago when you could walk up to somebody and say, hey, do you mind or something? People are crazy now.
Well, hey, Joanne,
they are.
I have a slogan for us. Don't be a mask hole. I have a slogan. Don't be a mask hole. Wear your mask.
Right.
Don't be a mask hole.
But again, and this is my emphasis, take care You know, people, we live in a selfish culture. This is the time to be selfish. This
yeah.
is the time to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is acceptable to me. And if you're not following by my guidelines, then we need to separate each other for a while. And
right.
that's okay.
I saw someone today, they said, it's not my fault that you have COPD. You should have taken care of yourself. It's not my fault that you have diabetes. You should have taken better care of yourself. So it's your problem that you're sick, not mine. I was like, are you kidding me? Come on. You know?
Oh, God.
I know. I know. Oh, it's online. I didn't see it in person. It was online.
No.
It was online. I mean, yeah, people are crazy now. It's like my kids are driving now, and I tell them, please, no middle fingers. Don't argue with anybody. People get out of that car. You don't know what they're crazy. You don't know what
you know,
they got.
I remember years ago, there was a woman in Alabama driving her car, and it was a road rage incident. And
right.
this woman cut her off, and she gave her the finger, and then this cat and mouse game started happening. She pulled a gun out of her glove compartment, shot one shot, and killed the other woman. When the police arrived, the woman was crying over this woman's body, saying, I didn't mean to kill her. I only wanted to scare her.
Mm.
You know, you're right. It's one thing if you're getting into an argument with a friend on Facebook and they decide to block you or unfriend you or whatever they decide to do. It's a completely different ball of wax when you were in someone else's space and you make a comment that's going to set them off. You don't know who they are.
Exactly. And anything sets people off these days. Anything.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with we're under a lot of stress. Everybody's under a lot of stress. We know that. You know, people
that's,
are out of work.
That's part of it. That is a
yeah,
major
yeah.
part of it.
I think if that wasn't there, that would be a less of a problem, hopefully. But I don't know. It just seems to me that people have just become so nasty and crazy these days, be it for whatever reasons, I don't know. But, you know, be kind, man. What's it would kill you to be nice? It doesn't hurt, and it's free.
No.
What the hell, man? Be kind to people. It's all we got is each other, man. What the hell? Oh, geez. I'm on medication. Can you tell?
I should be on medication.
I'm saying man a lot, so I'm like my.
That's quite all right.
I sound like I'm in my 40s, and then, you know, man, come on, man.
I thought you were doing your Joe Biden impersonation. Come on, man.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, Jesus. Well, Richard, I'm so glad that we got to talk to you tonight. And I hope you're feeling good.
I am, too. I hope it was worthwhile.
Yes. And please,
it got
please,
my mind off of things for a while,
please,
and I love you for
ever,
it.
Don't ever post C on the other side. Just say,
no, I didn't mean anything by that, so I apologize to everyone who thought otherwise.
But everybody took it the wrong way. You know?
It's a line from Hamilton.
Yeah, people don't know that. A lot of people don't
know
that.
I know. But I'm fine.
Good. Yes, you are. Like I said, if you ever need to talk or anything, you know where I am. And you know I love you. So I'm
too.
So happy for everything that's going on for you, your anniversary. And hopefully we'll be able to get back there soon and you could get back out.
We'll be back. It'll be back.
You know? Oh, it'll be back. I'm just hoping sooner than later. And you can get out there, express yourself, and be yourself again, and put on a great show. And who's your next
Absolutely.
Guest for Richard Skipper Celebrate?
Well, tomorrow night I was scheduled to interview Dr. Judy Blume. And she is a – not the Judy Blume that you know. This is another Dr. Judy Blume. Her name is spelled completely different on both ends. But we were scheduled to sit down and talk. We set this interview up. Probably about 2 months ago. And are you ready for this? The topic was going to be coming out of COVID.
Oh.
Well, we decided to change it, and we were going to talk about all the things that you and I have just talked about right now.
Right.
How people are coping with things.
Right.
You know, her advice, to people, a lot of people are in pain right now.
Yeah.
So, I reached out to her a few days ago and I said, I really am not sure as to whether or not my electricity will be back on or not.
Right.
But please, you know, do you want to reschedule or do you want to keep it as it is and we'll see what happens? Mm-hmm. We've decided to reschedule, you know, unless I have a miracle. And, you know, if the electricity comes on tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, I will be sitting down with Judy Blume. But the following Monday night, I'm very excited about this. I'm going to be interviewing Bill Berlone. And Bill Berlone is the animal trainer to all of the animals that you've seen in Broadway shows.
Oh, wow.
Starting with he has trained all of the Sandys for all of the productions of Annie, productions of The Wizard of Oz. He trains the Totos. He did Annie for the Aidan Quinn movie as well. Him and his wife, they have a farm out in Connecticut. They have 40 animals that they're taking care of right now.
Right.
So they've started a fund called the Theatrical Animals Fund. So I'm doing that on the 17th. And then on the 20th, it's one of my favorite writers' birthdays, Jacqueline Suzanne. And I am reading this incredible book called Dolls, 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 all about the making of Valley of the Dolls, which is one of my favorite movies.
Yes, I saw you advertise that. I mean, posted. I'm sorry. I saw you post
and,
that.
Writer, Stephen Rebello, has this new book out, and we're going to be really talking about Jackie Suzanne and this phenomenon that came out of the 60s called Valley of the Dolls.
Great movie.
I don't know if either of you have ever seen the movie.
Oh, yes. That was one of my...
A long time ago. Yeah,
a long time ago. Black and white, I remember that. And I was kind of young. I don't remember it in detail or verbatim.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You have power.
My internet just came on. My alarm just went off.
What's like? Yay! See, Richard?
Oh, my God. I'm going to burst into tears.
Oh,
just
don't
went
cry,
off in my office.
Don't cry. You'll get it wet and you'll lose it.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
well,
so
I'm
going to
end this. I'm going to go and turn everything on and make sure that everything's back up to normal and everything. I love you so much.
He used us, John. He used us. Now the show's back on.
It was one of our listeners from Optima listening, and they got me really far gone.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I said I'm going to pray for you tonight that you get your power on. So there you go.
Well, thank you. I'm going to go make sure that everything's up and running again. So thank you.
All
thank
right.
You, thank you.
Well, honey, thank you for joining us. All the best to you. Keep in touch. And I'm going to try and catch the shows. I'll do my best. And thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Richard Skipper. Check out Richard Skipper Celebrates. You'll love it. He's got a YouTube channel.
And I have
channel.
Power.
And he's got power.
Oh.
Let's have him love. And on the seventh day, there you go.
And on the seventh day, you're right. I love
there
you both.
You
thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, Richard.
Take care, Richard.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Look at him. Use us like a piece of shit. Amen. I'll tell you. It was funny. I was a little down and dumps myself, and we talked, I think it was about a week ago, and he picked me up. And when he told me he was down and dumps and when we were talking, he said he was getting there. I said, well, why don't you come back to the show? You know? And he said, sure. And then today we almost didn't have him on because of his power situation, but he needed to vent, which he did, and made him feel better, and he got his power. So that's freaking great.
That's
great
all that
news.
Matters.
Exactly.
Excellent.
So we don't have much time left, Johnny, but how was your weekend? You have a nice weekend?
Oh, I just guess there was heat, and I tell you, between the rain and the heat, yeah, with that monsoon rain we had the other day, luckily we didn't have that much damage, but, I mean, the flooding around here was incredible. A lot of people lost power. We lost it for like 5 seconds and it went back on.
Wow.
Which is very odd. It was either 5 seconds or 5 weeks, you know.
Thank God. Yeah, well, all right. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening tonight. Richard Skipper, check him out. Richard Skipper Celebrates on YouTube, and he's got Facebook. Thank you to our sponsors, the High Barn Bistro, Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video, Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWB Wine, South Africa, Keys for the Times and Other Stuff, Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions, Lenoka Hall Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, and Joey Max Hot Dog Truck Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. I did it. I did it with it. What, we got 10 seconds? Oh, my God.
And Joanne, tell the people if they missed any, if they